Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we're going to start our conversation in trying to understand the soul, the soulical realm, and the supernatural realm, and how the supernatural is different than the spiritual and the natural. We've talked before about how what we're going to be talking about here may not necessarily line up with what you've been taught elsewhere, what you believe or what you think. You know, a lot of us just have beliefs and ideas and have never really thought about the context or the substance, how we got there, or if what we believe or think, or even our opinions, if they really even make sense. So it's totally appropriate to question, simply ask the question, does what I'm believing make sense? Is it consistent with, in our case, we're talking about things about God, does what I believe make sense thinking about a loving God? Would a loving God do this? Now, part of that comes back to, what does love mean? What kind of things does a loving God do? And we have a tendency to think that God is all on one side of the coin, and his enemies, Satan and evil, is on the other side. God is good, and the devil is evil. And so we have a hard time thinking rightly that regardless of what we have been taught in the scriptures, that the rain falls on the just and the unjust, and that God often carries out his purpose for on a big scheme and in little schemes on our own personal levels through bad things happening, we still have this idea that God expressing his love toward us is going to look and feel and be obviously good. So as we start to come into a greater understanding of what our soul is and what our temperament is, part of our being a little bit introspective with God's guidance on an individual basis, in other words, this is something for you to do alone with God. Ask him about these questions and about these issues, because this is very personal. Because what I want you to think about is, are you maybe drawing conclusions about what God has done in your life, where he has brought you, where your expectations may have been wrong based on a misunderstanding of God's nature? Part of our challenge is we think that God is, again, God is good and the devil is bad, and if it's bad, it came from the devil, and if it's good, it came from God. And yet we believe in a sovereign God. And so we've come up with this doctrine that God has decided he will not interfere with free will. and this is, we'll at some point in time go into a little bit more deeply, but to think that your will is free is misunderstanding what freedom is. Freedom is a thing or a being or a creature being able to be what it was created to be without any interference. And for you and I, our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions are anything but free. We, in our, before we became a Christian, we had absolutely no way of expressing our emotions, our thinking, our mind, or our choosing, our will, in anything that could possibly be called freedom. We did not have any comprehension of God's love. This is why it's always frustrating to try to explain to someone who doesn't believe in God what God's love is like. Because without Him revealing and bypassing all the lies that our soul believes, bypasses that and simply reveals Himself in order to get a response from us. We can't do that, make those decisions, respond emotionally or even choose or believe while we're still shackled. We are in the prison of our own beliefs. And God knows that. God's not holding that against us. This is where we are, and let's be honest and real about it. We all have a history. We are all born in a culture. We all have expectations and a temperament that God gave us. And we all have certain cultural and religious and doctrinal and ethnic and time-related beliefs that directly and indirectly affect who we think God is and who we think we are. And those beliefs are based on limited information, limited exposure to God, and limited ability. And the more time we all start thinking about what our soul is up against, what our mind, will, and emotions are up against without God, it is no wonder that we are here on this earth spending so much time undoing the chains, being freed from the chains, being healed of the wounds, having our mind and our will and our emotions changed by God to release us, to free us from the jail cell, the prison that we're in. We thought it was a way to protect us. And you're safe in a prison. You can't get out, but nobody can get in. That's freedom. Because it's security, and because it's what we've grown up with. It's all we've ever known. But to say that we're free, we have a free will, a free mind, and a free emotions, that's the last thing that we have. So to try then to exercise our mind and our will and our emotions to try to understand who and what we are and who and what God is and others, we have to realize that there's going to be a learning curve. And odds are that's going to be our time here on this earth, and maybe longer. Now, when Jesus was here, he was taught by the Father. And he did not have the same soulical problems that you and I have, because he was born of spirit. And this is why he could start fresh, with a clean soul, if you will. His soul did not have to overcome what our souls have to overcome, which is why he could be the lamb that was slain to pay for our sins. But he could then turn and be taught of the Father directly and purely. And yet it still took him, 30 years or so to be ready to step out and do what God, what his Father had sent him to this earth to do. It was still a process. He still had to learn. He still had to suffer. He still had to be a partaker in, he had to make mistakes. He had to go through the same process that you and I go through. He just had a different starting point. So because he went through that same process, he knows what we need to make it through that process. Because he's also God, he can take us through more quickly. So the more open we are to hear from God, at times without questioning, leting him feed us first, and then asking him, Lord, what was that all about? This is going to be hard for some of us. We want to understand first, because again, what is one of our big problems? We are so afraid of being deceived. So we ask the Lord, what are some ways we can, is there any ways, and what are they, to prevent deception? And his answer is pretty simple. Know my voice. My sheep know my voice. It's pretty simple. And yet we're not taught how to do that. The emphasis is always on memorize scripture, memorize doctrine. You can just tell, you can just feel it, or here are the 10 steps, or just belong to my church, I'll guide you. God's going to hold me accountable, so you know, I'm not going to let you go astray because God's going to get mad at me. Well, that's not the way what God meant either, let alone, you know, that reference is not being accurately translated, but the whole idea of us being accountable or being led by another person and trusting in that other person when we have the opportunity to walk with the shepherd and not follow another sheep. But how do we learn his voice? How do we know his voice? We know that he wants to reveal himself to us. This is his whole purpose for coming to this earth, forgiving our sins and rebirthing us in our spirit, is because he wants to share in our lives, be one with us, in our spirit. And this is, again, to me, it just makes sense. There's always going to be nuances that over time are defined or refined. And again, we've talked about if what you believe and is what you're learning is bringing you into that greater sense of freedom, confidence, healing, through dependence on God alone, then great. That's you're in the safe zone. You're where God wants you. But we are to evaluate what we've been taught and what we believe. There's this thing about don't judge, but everything we do is judging. And we better get much better at it. Because we also ask for wisdom. Well, you can't have wisdom and not judge. Wisdom is all about judging, evaluating which is best, which is worse, what's the truth here, how do we solve this problem. That's all evaluating. And we want to start with ourselves. We aren't going to be open to every whim of what we hear without being able to recognize the voice, the wind of God, the Spirit speaking life to us. How do we learn it? We spend time with Him. We show up for class, we take notes, we take the tests, and we move on. And we can do this because we have the confidence that He has every day planned out for us. Your tomorrow, He's prepping you for your tomorrow right now. So there's so much going on in the world, and we get caught up in it, and we get distracted by it. And yet, if those who knew God could truly hear and be taught of Him, and not just learn about Him, but be taught, taste and see that the Lord is good, we could participate. He would have the opportunity within us to heal our emotions, to free our wills. We're in the process of our wills becoming free. And the freer your will be, the more tightly constrained it will be to the will of God. But then also the more free you become, because it comes a point in time when God says, you can do what you want. I trust you. You can do what you want. So I think he told Moses, ask what I would give you. So we want to be aware of the processes we are in and have our minds renewed. So God wants our soul renewed and changed and healed and modified. But we can't do that ourselves. And this is part of our challenge with our soul. Because especially our mind, we want to do it. We think that it's the strength of our mind or our emotions or our will, that if we just try hard enough, that if we just put enough crying out to Him, and this is where our temperaments come in. But if we can harness the strength of our soul, we can get God to heal our soul. And that very desire to do it ourselves is the downfall of our soul. So let's just a quick review is there's three realms of reality. And there's a link on the description of this radio episode. And it's on the website as well. There's the three realms. The natural, the supernatural, and the spiritual. We've talked at length about the natural and the spiritual, and there tried to keep that fairly simple. Where it gets complex is talking about the soul. So supernatural is simply above natural, and when we're talking about the soulical realm, we're strictly talking about that human part of the supernatural realm in which our soul functions. So So you have your own little soulical realm where your soul is working within you, and my soul is working within me, and the mind, the will, and the emotions interact with one another in each one of us. That's your soulical realm. Beyond your soulical realm is the supernatural realm. Now, your soul functions in the supernatural realm, between the natural and the spiritual. Your soul is not natural. Your soul is not spiritual. It's supernatural. It's temporary. It was created. It's not, doesn't have the same qualities as God, as spirit, and it doesn't have the qualities of the natural realm. Now, each one of us is born with a soul we have our whole lives. Our soul is made up of mind, will, and emotions. The soul is distinct from the body and the spirit. For instance, the mind, your mind is not your brain. And you have the same will after you became a spirit, after you were born again, as you did before. Now, the soul God gave you is the one he wanted you to have. There's nothing wrong with the basic soul he gave you. He likes it. He's pleased with it. The problem is the soul that he gave us has been imprisoned. By our own situation, we inherited things, we inherited misbeliefs and cultural situations and all the things we just talked about, and our soul has ended up being born in prison. We could say our soul was born to a woman in prison. So this is all we've ever known, is the life of a prisoner. And it's scary being set free. We have to learn how to live differently. God knows that too. Now, it's only when we depend on our soulical strengths and protecting our weaknesses, the soulical attributes, to get those needs met that we run into trouble. Again, your soul, the original soul God gave you, is 5 stars in God's book. The problem is it's tried to manage without spirit, and it's grown up in prison. So the harder the soul tries to fulfill the needs, its own needs, within prison, instead of living as a free spirit, the more the soul tries to adjust to that prison cell as its home, how we create our self-life, our flesh. We deceive ourselves and wound ourselves and cause death to ourselves when we accept a prison life as our true life, as intended by God. Now, the way your soul is put together is a combination of your individual strengths and weaknesses. It's your temperament. What we have a tendency to do is rely on our strengths and hide our weaknesses, but God loves both. So we have, you can be yourself with God, because God gave you yourself. And each of us has a unique self, a unique temperament, a unique soul. Now, for our purposes, we try to categorize our temperament just so we can talk about certain aspects of our soul. Because, again, we have gotten so used to being in this prison. We've gotten so used to dealing with ourselves. We see ourselves as our soul and not that we are truly a spirit being who has a soul. So we often categorize our soul, our temperament, according to strengths and weaknesses. And as in, it varies from culture to culture and from time and even gender and age. What is socially desired is a strength, and what is socially unacceptable is a weakness. And since societies change, the definition of strengths or weaknesses can change. For instance, someone with a strong will, passion, and intelligence is often referred to as a leader or a gifted person, while someone with low motivation, low intelligence, and passivity is often referred to as slow. Now again, God does not value one person's temperament more than another's. He created every single one of our temperaments, every one of our souls, and he gave it to us, and he said, I like it. It meets my requirements. This is a blessing to the person I give it to. Now, our soul, part of your challenge here on this earth is to get used to, get to know your own soul. Part of that process will be to become familiar with how your soul gets its own reality, how your soul distinguishes its own truth, how it discerns its own environment. And it's through soulical senses. The soul relates to ourselves and to others. This is how we communicate with one another here on this earth, is through our soul. You're listening to me and taking in what I'm saying and seeing if it applies and asking questions and absorbing it and responding to it in your soul. You're using your ears to hear, which are natural, but the information and what you're doing with it and how you're responding to it is all in your soul. And so we start understanding, okay, there are filters, some that are very damaged because of the prison we've been living in, that we take in information, and by the time it actually gets to where God wants to use it, that new information has even been affected. Fortunately, God knows, and he's working these things out from within our spirit. So, soulical senses include understanding, choosing, feeling, awareness of self, awareness of others, intuition, and a sense of time. There's also a sense of God, who he is, that he exists, that we need him. But God himself must quicken this sense to recognize his spirit. This is why very often it's so frustrating talking to people who don't believe, because they can't. Now, it's also in the soul that the so-called spiritual gifts are located. We can use the gifts without the Spirit of God having anything to do with it. Before we became Christians, we would call working these soulical gifts, spiritual gifts, soulical gifts. They're called, incorrectly called spiritual gifts. They're really soulical gifts. We could call them witchcraft, ESP, luck, sorcery. Using the gifts, these soulical gifts with our own strength after we become Christians, we could call manipulation and idolatry. So we will pick it up here next week. We'll be continuing to talk about going beyond the soul itself and talk about the supernatural realm, not just the soulical, not just the human, how humans connect and the environment that us humans with our mind, will, and emotions function, but how do we then relate to the rest of the supernatural environment? So if you've got any questions or have any feedback, drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org. Until next week, thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.